Scripture reading 1 James 1:19. James 1:19.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. Certainly thankful for each and everything. I tell you what, when I leave in the morning, I'm working Mark on overtime because I am sending him 3 PowerPoints. This is the PowerPoint for this evening. So I just keep probably, when I'm leaving the house, I'm probably labeling them wrong and sending the wrong things. But there's a preview for tonight. A fallen nation. Based off Lamentations, we see God's people fall. This morning, we're going to be looking at the master of questions. The master of questions. Certainly, I've got a lot on my mind, and certainly I forget things from time to time. But we are switching teacher quarters. And we're so thankful for our teachers that taught last quarter. So thankful for Rex. So thankful for Carl. I'm looking at the classrooms and just seeing the people there. we're so thankful for Terry. We're so thankful for Brandy. We're so thankful for Brock and Lydia. We're so thankful for all those teachers that served the last quarter. And we're so thankful for our new teachers that we have coming in. What a blessing that is to have classes for all ages and certainly trying to get God's Word into those young people as much as we can. So thankful for that. We're so thankful for your efforts to show up to our evangelism class the next few weeks. We're already through 2 weeks. We've got 6 left. And I've tried to match some of the morning lessons based off evangelism to try to help us because, I tell you, I'm pressed every class period to get through everything that I want to get through. So some of it's kind of overflown into our morning lessons. And today we're going to think about the master of questions. The master who used questions so effectively, and that's Jesus Christ. When I look and I reflect on Jesus and reflect on what other people have written about Jesus and observations, he was a master of using questions. And I think that we need to become masters again. If we need to follow the master teacher and understand the importance and value of questions and how we handle them. Because Jesus, through his example, shows us how he handled questions in different situations, how he used questions, how he handled questions, and how he was so very, very effective with that. And that's what we're going to be looking at this lesson, but also throughout the evangelism class. Because Jesus was effective with questions. And I think if we can get better with questions, we can get better at reaching the lost. So there's 3 things I'd like to look at in relation to Jesus and how he handled questions. The first thing I'd like to look at and consider is that Jesus was actually very keen on deferring questions. And what I mean by that is Jesus understood that there was a time and a place for certain questions. If Jesus actually didn't answer all questions, that might surprise you. There are multiple places in Scripture where Jesus deliberately did not answer the questions that were asked. And I think that he understood in the situation what to do with questions. And I think as we study Jesus, we can handle questions better ourselves. If Jesus many times would defer questions, if he would understand that the people that were asking the question were not ready for the answer, and he would make sure that he would direct the conversation to where it needed to go. And I'll try to give you kind of a basic rule for that. But I think Jesus tried to make his conversations more like discussions. He tried to play them back and forth with questions. He wanted them to think. He wanted them to contemplate. And a lot of times he would defer questions. Now we are to defend the faith. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer or to think. To anyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Certainly we are to defend the truth, but we should defend it in a skillful way. And Jesus was great at defending the truth, and he was great at utilizing questions whenever he was trying to bring people to a knowledge of the truth. We are certainly to go is if people come to us with questions, we should be ready to answer those questions and to direct the conversation where it needs to go. But also in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The Christian has an obligation to go, but a Christian also has the obligation to defend. And Jesus many times was on the defensive, and we can see how he handled questions. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, this is very powerful in my mind of giving us an example of how Jesus understood that some questions and some topics needed to be revisited down the road. Those topics were not for today. Those topics were for another day. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus says this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, this is Jesus not talking to the world. This is not Jesus talking to people that are not familiar with Jesus and his ways. This is Jesus talking to his own followers at the time, and he says, there's some things that I want to talk to you about, but I can't talk to you about them today, because you are not able to bear it. Have you ever thought that when people ask us questions on occasion, that they are not quite ready for the answer? It's not that they're not ready for the answer, it's not that they're not ready for it down the road, but they're not quite ready for it today. Sometimes people don't ask the best questions because they don't even understand where they are on the spiritual continuum of growth. Well, what do you mean by that, Kyle? Is I want to give you a physical illustration to try to put it into a spiritual illustration. When we go over to John chapter 3, I think we'll kind of get a little bit of a picture of this. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. We have a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. And verses 3 through 5, a conversation between the Pharisee and Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, John chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, "Most assuredly to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." I want you to think about a minute about a physical birth. You know, we're so blessed with multiple pregnant ladies in the congregation, and certainly we're praying for each and every one of those. Ray and Grace, Sarah, and certainly there's so many others out there, out there in the world that are pregnant. That's a beautiful thing. This baby is growing in the womb. And eventually, the day will come when that baby will be born. And when that baby's born, what do we typically give those babies as food? We give them milk. That's what we give them. And then once they grow a little bit more and they mature, eventually we give them some solid food. I want you to think about those three stages for a minute. If we've got a baby in the mother's womb, what is that baby getting nutrient-wise? They are just getting the essential nutrients from mom. Then that baby is born physically, and then that baby receives milk, and then that baby will eventually grow and mature and receive solid food. You know, it's not that much different from spiritual growth. You understand that there are people that are not Christians. They have not been born of water and the Spirit. They have not been born of water and the Spirit. They have not been baptized, and they have not become Christians. You know somebody that hasn't become a Christian yet? You know what they need? They need the essential ingredients. They do not need a steak. In fact, anyone that starts kicking my wife around with a steak right now, we call them crazy. You know, if somebody cut up a steak right now, put a piece of steak on the fork and start chasing my wife, and we say, "What are you doing chasing my wife?" And say, "I'm trying to feed this baby that's in your wife's womb." We say, "You're crazy. The baby in the womb does not need the solid food. The baby in the womb does not need the solid steak." Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, the question is, why are we trying to feed non-Christian steak? They don't need it. In fact, they could choke on it, and perhaps it could hinder their growth. Think about it. You've got a non-Christian. They have not been born of water and the Spirit. They need the essential ingredients. They don't even quite need milk, perhaps, yet, and they definitely don't need solid food. You know what of all the questions I get from non-Christians? They're not the best questions. Because they're asking solid food questions, they're not asking essential ingredient questions. So I think Jesus understood this. He said, there's many things I want to teach you, but you are not ready. There's many things I want to teach you, but you're not ready. I've had a lot of non-Christians come to me and say, I've got a lot of questions about Revelation. Well, you know what? I would love to discuss with you topics of Revelation. But you know what? You're not quite ready right now. You need the essential ingredients. You need Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need the church, and you need about baptism and salvation. You need to hear that. That's what you need to hear. You don't quite need Revelation right now. I'd love to study with you. Well, I want to study about Revelation. I'd love to study with you. I've got a great study, three studies. Study one, study two, study three. It'll answer all your questions. If it doesn't answer all your questions, I'll answer all your questions after study three, because the person does not need Revelation. They don't need it. You know, I think we understand this very well in the physical world. My son Uriah, he's got a lot of questions. Man, does he have a lot of questions. A lot of times he's got questions when I'm coming into the church building. He says, look over at the barn, and look over at the birds, and look over at this, and look at this. If I answered every question to my son, you know what would happen? We'd never make it into the church building. We just wouldn't make it. If I answered every question to my son before we got in, he wouldn't make it into the church building. And sometimes, we need to understand that spiritually. And spiritually, we have to understand that there's a time and place for questions. If somebody's asking me about Revelation, and they're a non-Christian, I say, hey, that is a great question. I would love to study with you with that. I'd like to start here with study one. I think we understand that. And I think that's why Jesus deferred questions on occasion. And I think that's the spiritual growth process that we see in the Bible. We have a non-born individual. They're born, and then what do they need? They need milk. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that they may grow thereby. When somebody becomes a New Testament Christian, they need that milk. And you know what? After a period of time, they're going to graduate from milk into solid food. We see that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says there in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And it's something you need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who by reason of use can discern between good and evil. You know, when somebody becomes a New Testament Christian, they don't have all the answers. They might not even have all the answers on morality. You understand that, right? Somebody can understand Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They can understand the church. They can be baptized for remission of sins. And you know how much more learning they need. There is a base knowledge that somebody needs to be born again, to become a New Testament Christian. But they're not going to know everything. As soon as they're born, they need milk. And we need them on the milk quickly. Because really, our babies are vulnerable. They need that milk. But eventually, there's a period of milk, and eventually we're supposed to graduate to solid food. We can discern between good and evil. We should get to a point where we can teach others about the truth, about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. But Jesus understood that there was a place, a time and a place for questions. There's many things I want to teach you, but you're not able to bear them today. I wonder how many times I've made that mistake with the law. You know, these next 8 weeks, we're trying to be better. I'm trying to be better. And you think about it, there's a lot of times that people have come to us with questions, and we said, that's a good state question, and let me try to cut that up for you and give you the state question instead of trying to get them where they really need. They need those basic ingredients. They need Jesus Christ. They need the church. They need to hear about salvation. That's what they need to hear about, and that's what I like about the back of the Bible book. It's 1, 2, and 3, and that's what Philip preached. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says he preached Jesus Christ, he preached the kingdom, and they were baptized. That's the essential ingredient that someone needs to be born again. And if somebody comes and they ask for a steak, I say, I would love to give you a steak later on. But I want to start you out with the essential ingredient. Jesus deferred questions. And there is a growth process in Christianity. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Christianity is a growth process. At one point, we weren't even born. Then we were obeyed. And then we grew to a point where we were eating solid food and we were able to teach others. I think this is a biblical idea. There is a time and place for certain questions. But I think Jesus deferred questions because sometimes people weren't ready. And also, I think Jesus understood whoever asked the questions controls the study. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. They try to teach that and fail. Whoever asked the questions controls the sale process. Now, I understand that might not be the best parallel, but Jesus, I can see Him doing that. If Jesus understood, whoever asked the questions controls the conversation, and a lot of times, we kind of give up ground to people that are not even born, and we just let them ask all kinds of questions, ask 60 questions if you want, or answer every single question we have, even if you're not ready for it. I'm not saying we don't answer it, but sometimes we don't have to answer it today. And sometimes Jesus didn't even answer questions when He was asked questions because He understood what was going on. My little daughter, Elia, she's not ready for steak. To give her steak right now would be somewhat of a crime. She's not ready for steak. She'll be ready for steak someday down the road. She'll be ready for that full food someday down the road. But today, she's in that milk phase. We understand it in the physical. We need to understand it in the spiritual. The people that we're dealing with, if we're dealing with a non-Christian, we need to be careful what we're feeding them. And one of the best ways is to try to get them right where they need to go. They need to go to Jesus Christ. They need to go to the kingdom. They need to go to salvation. We can study all kinds of things with people, but it doesn't mean that they're going to become New Testament Christians because we're taking them to the wrong place. They're just simply not ready. Let's look at some examples. Not only do you see that Jesus deferred questions on occasion, and some of these examples we're going to see this, but also Jesus asked questions. Question for you, when's the last time you deferred a religious question? Somebody came to you and said, well, you guys think you're the only ones going to heaven. You know what? That's a great question. I'd love to study with you. Well, why is the Church of Christ not New Testament? You know what? That's a great question. I'd love to study with you. There's some people that don't even understand what the church is. They don't understand the difference between the Old and New Testament. They don't understand that the church is a spiritual thing, not a physical thing, necessarily, in terms of we understand the gratifications of Jesus dying for the church. We understand that we physically make up the church. But a lot of people get lost in that building idea. We try to have safe conversations with unborn children. And we've got to get back to the milk, and we've got to go back even farther to the essential ingredients. Jesus deferred questions sometimes, and Jesus asked questions. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, let's see the master teacher in action. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and 26. Jesus asked questions. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and 26. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Now, this is an interesting situation. A lawyer comes, and we presume that this lawyer is trying to test Jesus. This lawyer comes, and he asks a very good question. Will we say this is a good question? What's he ask? He says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Question, did Jesus answer him? He answered him with a question. Well, Jesus, that's a pretty basic question, isn't it? But Jesus is the master teacher. He understands that sometimes people aren't ready for the answer, and then I think also Jesus picked up when people's attitude wasn't right. You know that people can ask bad questions because of their attitude. The Proverbs actually talks about that a little bit. It talks about answering a fool. And sometimes people are asking questions they don't really want to know the answer. But Jesus is the master on that, but we need to do the best we can. But he asked the question, says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and touched him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? You know what I think is so powerful? Is Jesus answers with a question, and you know where Jesus tries to direct this individual? Right back to the Word of God. You know, I've got to the point where I won't tell people anymore if I have the opportunity. That's why preaching is weird, because it's more of a telling. If I have an opportunity where I get to study with you or a loved one, You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to show you what the Bible says. Okay, let's open up the Bible. Let's see what it says. Because at the end of the day, the Bible trumps all. And that's what book one's all about, is the Bible is where we got to go to the religious answers. So he asked a question, and Jesus said, you know what? What's the Bible got to say about that? People can ask you some very hard questions, but you know what? There's always a safe answer. What's the Bible got to say about that? And Jesus, he's very powerful here. He directs it back to God's Word. What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? You know what? If we could just get people in their noses in their Bible again, we'd be in a better place. I really believe that. I believe our country, our communities, our families would be in a better place if we would open up our Bibles and say, what does God have to say about this? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Doesn't matter what Kyle has to say. It matters what the Bible says. It matters what the Bible says. We have a skilled man, a lawyer. He knows all the loopholes. Perhaps he's not honest in this case. He has a bad attitude. But Jesus used questions and he tries to redirect. I believe we see deferring questions and we also see a redirecting of questions. The Lord did not answer. The Lord really asked questions and really worked through those questions. Do you want to win the argument, or do you want to win the soul? Because I believe if we use more questions, we'll win more souls. Because questions demand answers. Is baptism for remission of sins? That's a question we all need to answer before we leave this earth. Is it for remission of sins, or is it not for remission of sins? Is Jesus the head of the church, or is he not the head of the church? Do we just get to make up our own rules, or do we go off what the head says? These are questions we all must answer, and we can only answer them with the Word of God, and those words are the words that will be judging us. Jesus has these interactions throughout the Bible. We can see how he utilizes questions and how he defers questions. What does the Bible have to say? Let's force people to get back in their Bible. Jesus tried to do that all the time. In Matthew chapter 19, they're trying to ask Jesus some challenging questions. They're asking Jesus some challenging questions. And you know what Jesus says? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4? It says, he answered and said to them, have you not read? Jesus was always trying to point it back to God's Word. And if we are going to be good evangelists, we need to stop pointing to ourselves and start pointing to the Word of God. What does God have to say? And we don't need to quote it to them. We need to show them. Because you know what? Their preacher is quoting all kinds of things. In fact, you could probably put me beside another preacher and he could say, you know what? 90% of what we say sounds a lot alike. But you know what? The difference makes all the difference. Who's speaking the Word of God on all issues? And in fact, you shouldn't even trust, and many times, the person that's speaking the Word of God, because you can just go read it for yourself. In John chapter 12, verse 48, it says that we are going to be judged by the words of Jesus. We better know the words of Jesus. Not the words of Kyle, not the words of some other preacher out there. We better know the words of Jesus. When Jesus was tempted, in Matthew chapter 4, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus is all about getting people back to the Word of God, and that's what we need. We need to get back to the Bible. The Word of God is powerful enough to do that which it was designed to do, to cut the heart of men and women. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's another reason I like these back to the Bible books. If you just get to read the verse and you get to answer it for yourself, the Bible is powerful enough to do that which it's designed to do. People will read those verses, they will answer those questions, and you know what? It starts working on their heart. And I've got to see it in person. It works on their heart in a very powerful way. Because when they read the verse, they answer the question, they have to ask themselves these questions. And you can almost see their hearts get cut in the process. Because what they start to realize is perhaps they've been taught things that were not in the pages of this book. Jesus deferred questions, he asked questions. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21. There's many examples I could pull out, but it's just amazing how much and how many times Jesus deferred questions and he asked questions. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 and following, This is a very powerful exchange that Jesus has. Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 24. See how Jesus deferred questions, but also how he asked questions. Now when he came into the temple, Matthew chapter 21 here, verses 23 and following, it says, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Now I want to pause there. Could Jesus have answered those questions? Those are softball questions. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? I think those are softball questions. I think Jesus can answer those. But are we looking and watching the master teacher? He defers questions and he asks questions. Look at how he responds. It says, but Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from men? Jesus answered questions with questions. When was the last time you did that with a lost person? When was the last time a lost individual asked you a question and you threw a question back at them? See, I think we fall under 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We believe that we have to answer every single question, but Jesus didn't answer every single question. The question is, why did he not answer every single question? He was willing to answer every question, but he understood that there was a time and there was a place. There's a time and there's a place. And actually, Jesus handles this masterfully because he asked about the best question he could ask. Because you know what these questions are going to do? It's going to put it back in their heart, and it's going to have them answer a question that's really going to reveal their heart. You know what? When you ask people questions, they're going to reveal their heart. I don't know if you've thought about that before. When you ask people questions, they have to reveal their heart. They have to reveal their thinking. When's the last time you asked a lost person a question? Because Jesus asked these questions and see what they have to do. Verse following after Jesus' comment, he says, is it the baptism of John from heaven or from earth? And it says they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for they all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. Now, the baptism for remission of sin. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Is it from heaven or is it from men? You've got a few options to answer that question. You can answer yes, it's for remission of sins. You can answer no. Or you can also answer as they did, I don't know. And you know what? All three of those answers are very powerful. You know what? There's some questions you've got to answer before you leave this earth. There's some questions you need to think about and consider. And brothers and sisters in Christ, questions are good because questions get people to think. What's the purpose of baptism? Who's the head of the church? What are the implications of Jesus being the head of the church? Questions are good because questions demand answers. You almost, if you're asked a question, it's very hard for you to not answer, isn't it? If somebody asks you a question, you almost, it's like a natural obligation. I've got to give an answer. If somebody asks me a question, but brothers and sisters in Christ, are we asking people questions? We must ask people questions because it makes them think. It makes them consider. And it makes them come to the answers that they really need to come to. Because a lot of times we don't ask questions. You know, Jesus, by not answering very basic questions, he puts these people in a situation where they have to think, they have to contemplate, and really they have to answer this very challenging question that they really do need to answer. And actually, see how it wraps up in the last verse there. After they would not answer Jesus' question, what does he say? And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. I think we have to be careful. I don't think we're necessarily perfect, but I do want you to think about the physical and the spiritual birth. You need to think about when you're talking to somebody, where they are. Is this a solid food? Is this a milk? Is this an unborn child? And I tell you, the most important one is the unborn child. Because the unborn child does not need steak. They do not need that. We need to get them to the essential ingredients as soon as we possibly can. But Jesus deferred questions. Jesus would ask questions, and we need to ask ourselves that question, is when was the last time I deferred a question? When was the last time I asked a question? Because that's what Jesus did. And if Jesus was doing it, perhaps we need to look at our lives and say, how can I be better? You know what? Sometimes Jesus hesitated. A lot of times we have to think we have to go, 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 but sometimes Jesus hesitated when questions were asked. And I think there's multiple reasons that we can hesitate. Defer questions sometimes, we need to ask questions sometimes, and also we need to hesitate. In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. You know what? Hesitation and pause can be powerful. Continuing on, it says, his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She cries out after us, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you think about this, we see a little bit of hesitation here, and hesitation needs to happen. I think every once in a while, a lot of times we think we have to just respond as soon as the question's asked, but sometimes we need to hesitate. Jesus was confronted sometimes, and Jesus paused. Jesus was perfect. Sometimes we need to pause and gather ourselves. Sometimes we need to hesitate. In John chapter 8, verse 6, I think we see another hesitation. In John chapter 8, verse 6, John chapter 8, verse 6, I believe here, says this. I'll start in verse 5. It says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what did you say? This they said, testing him, that he might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps we need to rethink our interactions with individuals. I believe the closer we can get to Jesus, the better. Now, I understand Jesus is perfect. But there are some things that if we study Jesus, we start to pick up on. If Jesus did not answer all questions, it's not that Jesus was not willing to answer all questions, but he understood that there was a time and place. And do we understand that in our own evangelism? There's some questions, brothers and sisters in Christ, I will not answer anymore. I'm convinced, based off studying Jesus, there are some questions that I will not answer anymore. Oh, you think you're the only one going to heaven? I'd love to answer that question. But I'd love to study with you first. Because if I answer that question, you know what's going to happen? They are going to be emotionally mad at me. And at the end of the day, you know what they need to see? They need to see what the Bible says, and they need to come to their own conclusion. Well, Kyle, what was the Church of Christ? Well, why do you guys not use instruments? That is a great question. I'd love to study with you. Because if they don't understand the difference between the Old and New Testament, if they don't understand that we just go off what the Bible says in terms of authority, then they might come to a different conclusion. We need to study in a systematic way in a logical order. How many people do not understand the difference between the Old and New Testament? And yet we're trying to study with them about New Testament issues, and they're trying to justify themselves by the old law. That's what book one is all about. If we get through book one, people won't bring up the Old Testament. They won't bring up the Old Testament with the thief on the cross. They won't bring up the Old Testament in relation to the instruments that were used underneath the Old Testament. You know why they won't bring it up? Because they understand the difference between the Old and the New Testament. That's why. You understand the Old and the New Testament? The Old Testament, think about old law. Think about the New Testament, new law. You know, when my grandma got her driver's license at the DMV, I think she got it for 50 cents. Now, if I march into the DMV, and I say, hey, I want my driver's license, and I want it for 50 cents, you know what they're going to say? Sorry, that's old law. What if I'm out here driving, and I'm speeding? And the cop pulls me over and says, hey, you're speeding. And I tell the officer, well, you know what? About 100 years ago, there was no speed limit. So I don't know why you're pulling me over and giving me a ticket, because 100 years ago at this spot, there was no speed limit, officer. You know what the officer's going to say? That was old law. You're under the new law now. You understand which law you're under? There's a reason we don't offer sacrifices. There's a reason we don't keep the Sabbath. There's a reason we don't use instrumental music. There's a reason we do these things. And a lot of it is the difference between the Old and New Testament. But you're going to have a conversation about certain things down here about Revelation, and they don't know the difference between the Old and New Testament. You've got to be careful, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to think about it just one more time. I want you to think about that physical baby. The physical baby in the womb, there are certain things you don't feed that baby. When that baby comes out and is born, there are certain things you don't feed that baby. And then that baby grows and matures and has solid food. You have three choices. Essential ingredients, the milk, or the solid food. You have three choices. We've got to be very careful because we're choking some people to death. I'm convinced of it. Because we start at the wrong place. When I look at the Ethiopian eunuch, when I look at the conversions in the New Testament, I don't see 50 questions. We say, Kyle, it might not be recorded. Well, I think sometimes we have to think about why things might not be recorded. I don't see 50 questions. When I see the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, I am convinced that Philip is not talking to the Ethiopian eunuch about certain things. You know what I think he's talking to him about? He's talking to him about Jesus Christ. He's talking to him about the kingdom of God. He's talking to him about how to become a New Testament Christian. And you know what? After that, I'm sure that the Ethiopian eunuch studied all kinds of things. But before the Ethiopian eunuch was a Christian, he didn't need to hear about Revelation. Of course, you know that's down the road. But he didn't need to hear about certain things. It's not that it's not today. It's not that it's not down the road. It's just not today. And I think when we study Jesus, we start to see these things. And I think we need to really dedicate some time and think about, do I handle questions the way that Jesus did? When's the last time you deferred a question? Jesus did. When's the last time you asked a question? Jesus did. When's the last time you hesitated? Jesus did. There are some things that perhaps we need to consider. And I think as I've studied Jesus, I've become a better evangelist. Because there's some people that I've studied with recently. I think if I would have brought up certain topics, I would have lost them at day one. I don't think they would have studied with me any longer. If I would have answered some of the questions they asked me to answer. They say, I really want to know this. And I say, I would love to answer that. That's going to be great. But right now I want to study with you this, this, and this. And then after that, I'll answer all your questions. And you know what? After they became New Testament Christians, they didn't even ask those questions that they were asking me about. Let's get the essential ingredients. Then get them on the milk. Then get them on the solid food. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul is told to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Here's a question for you. Why did Paul, after praying 3 days, need to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins? Some people in the religious world would say his sin problem was already taken care of. Then why did the preacher say, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins? Acts 22:16. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you come as we sin, as we sin.